हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 69. Shamshaya, do the names like Hara and Rudra in these verses refer to Shiva or the Supreme Brahman? And do Pradhan and Jiva mean Pradhan and Jiva or the Supreme Brahman? Purvapaksha, they mean Shiva, Pradhan and Jiva, since these are the normal meaning of those words, right? So this is how it's being taken, is that since it's the standard way of using the words, then even though it may be talking about Brahman, you wouldn't use it that way. That's how the argument is. But then we see that Vyasadeva is making the point that you only use it in a standard way if the words make sense in that context. But if the word is talking about something that's beyond the beyond the meaning of that word, then you're taking it as Supreme Brahman, since everything is Brahman. Everything's coming from Krishna. Everything is Krishna. So therefore, when it has qualities that are beyond the definition of the standard usage, that means you're talking about the qualities of Krishna, who is that object, not the object itself.
Okay?
Yes.
All the philosophies, they disagree about the meaning of the name.
Disagree about the meanings of the names?
The different names means different philosophy use the name in different meaning.
Basically, they all, that means all these different philosophies, and that's the meaning. Hermeneutics means that they interpret in their particular way. So a word will always mean a particular thing.
Yes.
You know?
Like interpretation.
Yes, so, and that way they get their interpretation, because they don't see the words in that concept of their own definition, then how will they get their philosophy? Because the Veda is only discussing a Chintaveda-Veda tattva. That's all it's discussing. And so, to get any other thing, then you have to have a particular way you're interpreting the words. Right? So, the four sampradayas, even though they're not using a Chintaveda-Veda tattva, are all bona fide, because they're taking aspects of the Chintaveda-Veda tattva and connecting it to the Lord. Because all these are correct. So the difference then comes up is that when these others use these aspects of the words but not in connection to the Lord, then they become incomplete. So even if you're using only part of something and it's connected to Krishna, it becomes perfect. Right? But these others, they're using part of something not connected to Krishna. Because the idea of the Vedas is that you're always going to be engaged in activities connected devotional service, because that's the whole purpose of the material world. The whole purpose of the cosmos is devotional service. So now what happens is that those living entities that don't want to be involved in devotional service, they should be. Therefore, progressive means doing activities that are actually devotional service. Though the person does not, by consciousness, have that understanding. Right, because what we're seeing is that you have the devotional service itself, which means that mood of pleasing Krishna. Right, because if Krishna is going to be pleased, that means he's only pleased with devotion. Right, so it's not the result of the activity being performed. Right, so let's say you cook lunch. Right, so the result is a particular preparation. Now so that preparation is not what attracts Krishna. It's not that you're such a great cook and all that, you know, but it's because of the devotion. So that means knowledge and skills were applied, you know, to get that particular result. So with certain knowledge, certain skills, you cooked the preparation, it came out in a particular way. The better your knowledge and skills and application, the better that result. But seeing that's not actually what's pleasing to Krishna. What's pleasing to Krishna is the aspect of Prajumna, of the mood. So when the mood is it being done to please Krishna, then that's devotion. Then he accepts that devotion. So that's the result. It's Krishna's acceptance of the devotion in which it was performed. Right? So now, to give the expression of devotion unlimited aspects, therefore the secondary forms through which it's expressed then have unlimited manifestations. But we see is that it's only, its value is its expression of devotion. So when it's expressing devotion, you don't need to make a distinction. That's where the, sometimes the, not a full understanding comes, is that when we say bhakti, then we think it's just the devotion, but it includes the secondary. Right? While we are focused on the secondary, because the thing about that when we get envious of Krishna is not the devotion being offered, it's the secondary forms that we see it's offered through. Yes. Yes. So we would like those forms. We want to enjoy those forms. But we're making the mistake thinking the forms are what causes enjoyment rather than it's the attitude that causes the enjoyment. Yes. Right? So then we go for the secondary. Yes. So now, those secondary aspects, those are still activities of devotional service. Mm-hmm. But now, because the consciousness has changed, Prajumna is not about pleasing Krishna. And that attitude of that, now it's about pleasing ourselves. Mm-hmm. So now, that can't give any real satisfaction. Like the example of the leaves on the tree, you put water on the leaves, they're not going to be satisfied. You have to put the water on the root. So therefore, no matter how much we try and how much variety, then it still doesn't give satisfaction. But the main point we're trying to get at here is that the knowledge and skills and those activities and results that are gained, those are common between spiritual and material. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So now, so the generic concept of those activities being done and the qualities in which they're being done in, then the closer it is to the natural devotional standard, then the higher the piety is considered on the material platform. Right? So then you call that pious, because I do those activities, I get this result. But the reason they're more pious is because they're connected to, they are the activities, the natural activities, the devotional service. Mm-hmm. But because I'm not seeing them in connection with devotional service, therefore they're not counted as devotional service. I don't get the result. Because the devotion means it's the attitude. Mm-hmm. So just because I use the mechanics without the attitude doesn't mean I actually get the real result. Because the mechanical result is not the actual purpose of mechanical endeavor. Mm-hmm. It's simply a medium for, right? So it's not that, let's say, giving flowers is the real thing. It's the mood in which the flowers are given. Mm-hmm. You understand? So that's the whole idea, is that we're taking it that the form is the real thing, when no, it's actually the attitude's the real thing. Right? So when the attitude's about Krishna. So that's why this is the point. Those points there, those are the overlapping points. That's the confusion. So the difference in opinion means all the Vaishnavas that it's about devotion to Krishna. You know, that it's that bhakti, that will be common. And amongst the materialists that I will enjoy, that will be common. Now, the difference in those varieties of pleasing Krishna and those varieties of pleasing yourself will be all in those secondary forms. Right? So that's where the hermeneutics comes in. Is that your interpretation of what that form means. Right? It means, just like the modern society, money means happiness. Facility means happiness. Power, beauty, all these things. I have opulence, I'm happy. That's the interpretation. Right? Well, bhakti, then, having these facilities means opportunities to use them in Krishna's service. So that's what it means when you don't see sense gratification anymore. You just see facility for Krishna rather than facility for ourselves. Does that make sense? So it's not about the thing itself being sense gratification. It's actually how you view it which makes it sense gratification or not. Right? So when I say sense gratification, then I think it's the secondary aspects. And so I have to avoid that. And so I avoid that. And that's okay, that's nice. That's Shankya. Right? I'm analyzing, I'm avoiding, I'm renouncing. Then you have bhakti. That no, but so you aren't engaged in sense gratification, you're engaged in bhakti. So then bhakti means the attitude. So then, okay, but what about the engagement of the senses? Right? Right, that's what we've been discussing over the last 2 weeks when we're dealing with these things. But what about the secondary? Here's the primary. This is what we should do. And if you do that connected with the Lord, that secondary naturally becomes. No, but what about the secondary? Yes, but when that's engaged in the Lord's service, then we don't count it as that. It's called bhakti. And all, that's nice, but what about the second? You know what I'm saying? It means all the conversations for the last 2 weeks, that's all it's been. It's trying to confirm that my attachment to the secondary, I can still do that and call it bhakti.
To get both.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, I want you to go into the kitchen, I want you to, you know, peel and cut the potatoes. Can I use the knives? Yes, of course you can use the knives. I mean, the new knives. Yes, you can use them. Those new real sharp ones, you know, you said I have to be careful. Yes, you can use those. You're supposed to go in and cut the potato. So it's like the idea that cutting the potato and the knife are separate. So that's the point, is that this element of dualism where we separate everything from Krishna, that's the problem. Right? So this is different from the oneness, exclusive oneness, where it's just all one and there's homogenous and there's no other meaning to it. Here the oneness means it's the person who in all his different features, he's expanded as everything. As Paramatma and Brahman, then the whole cosmic creation is there. But it's all him. So therefore, seeing it separate from him, that's where the Maya is, because there isn't anything separate from him. So the secondary is him. But when you use that secondary in his service, that's called devotion. When you don't use it in his service, that's Maya, that's sense gratification. So the confusion comes over this overlap. You know, that was Arjuna's confusion all the way through. Is he always asked, is it renunciation or is it devotion? He's not getting that they're both the same. It's just the attitude in which you're approaching it. If you're looking more from the secondary and analyzing like that and getting to the devotion, or you're talking to the devotion and engaging the secondary, it's the same thing. But it's the devotion that makes it superior. But the mechanics are exactly the same for Shankya and Bhakti. So that's the difference. One's analyzing to be renounced, the other's analyzing to use it in Krishna's service. Using it in Krishna's service means it's renounced.
It's a new concept.
It's a new concept because for us, the goal is the secondary. Yes. And so when we add in this other, so for us, the goal is they're getting the stuff, and then if there's some sentiment along with it, great. Yes. But if the sentiment gets in the way of getting something, then it's bad, just like, let's say, the professional. Okay? So now if he's sentimental, then it gets in the way of making money. So even though he's nice to people or he's considerate, he promised his family he was going to be there for, you know, whatever it was, you know. But some deal has come up, so he's got to fly halfway around the world like that. So it'll be expected in the professional world that you're professional. You're not overwhelmed by all these side sentimental things. You get down there and get the job done. And if you do, you're not actually up to standard. So we see sentiment is only for getting the things. So even though you say, no, but personal, not really. You know what I'm saying? It's all in the same category of God may be there and accepted, and there may even be faith, but it's secondary to moralism. Right? Because when push comes to shove between service to God and moralism, moralism wins. Right? Does that make sense? So all these modern kind of approaches, there may be faith in God, and so many people may have that. But the point is it's still about that. What you have to obtain by that faith is moralism. That secondary form. right? He's a good guy. He does that. So it's an activity like that. And the mood is there, then that just naturally goes with it. But it's the thing itself. It's the secondary. So it's reversed from what it's supposed to be. So that's material consciousness. It's the whole process is reversed. Well, then devotional consciousness means it's in its natural state. So now in here, you're dealing with the mechanics of this point. See, we're used to just dealing more on the aspect of you do it connected to Krishna, it's fine. And we'll do that, but the tendency is we'll consider the mechanics as a separate thing. Devotion is one thing, and then there's the mechanics, you know, because that's where I'm just being practical and all those things come in, or we have to be real, Prabhu, well, in the real world, and all those kind of things that we'd like to say. So that's because we're focusing on the secondary. So now, Vyasadeva, because he's dealing with the top philosophers, not, you know, some guy on CNN or something, you know, so he's dealing with them, so they can analyze down to this point. And so then he's showing how, because of this point, that's where your philosophy is going wrong. You're not connecting it to the Supreme. You're taking it as separate. So when we're just talking about the secondary form of something, and that natural, then we're talking about the secondary, because it is secondary. But when the qualities of the primary are being discussed, and you're referring it to the secondary situation, you're talking about the primary. Because the secondary doesn't carry that. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that this is the crux that goes, and this applies in so many aspects of devotional service. The whole, you can say those first six chapters of Gita, they're all about trying to show this difference. Because Arjuna's thinking, no, if we have, you know, the family members there, we do all these things, that nice, then it's perfect. And this battle is a problem. But Krishna's saying, no, it's about doing it connected to Krishna, because he's taking the battle and his relatives rather than the battle and Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So that whole range there, that's where the difficulty comes in, is that so karma yoga, jnana yoga, these, that means that I'm looking at it from the secondary first, because it's my conditioning, but I'm able to see it, take it through to Krishna, then it becomes perfect. But having described all this in general in the first six chapters, and then about Krishna and the devotion, how you're supposed to connect them, and then showing very technical points of connection and analysis that are there, then Krishna says you should give up all this just to please him. It doesn't means you're giving it up, doesn't mean that it's not used, but when you analyze it, it's about the analyzation, then it's called Shankhya. When it's about pleasing Krishna, so you're seeing the situation and trying to see how it best can be used for Krishna, even though you're analyzing, it's not about the analysis, it's about Krishna. Shankhya means it's about analysis, and the end result is Krishna. And surrendering, giving up religion means it's about Krishna, and then I'll use the analysis. So that's where it becomes confusing, because we're using it in both ways. So why do you say give it up when we're using it? Because it's giving up the attachment to it, the vision from that. That's what's trying to be established. So that's the difficult point, is that we've come to the material world because of seeing the secondary as the exclusive, you know, goal, as opposed to the primary. I mean, the primary, of course, is us, but, you know, like that. So, you know, it works out. You know, right? But to switch that the primary means Krishna and not us, you know, and so the secondary only has its value in connection with Krishna. It doesn't have value on its own. That's why Krishna can create everything, but it doesn't affect him, because he is the primary. How can the secondary affect the primary? Does that make sense? You know, so that's the whole thing. They're separate. It doesn't affect. You know, it's just like we said. Whether you're using the kitchen or not, the principle of cooking exists. And even if no one's cooked for, you know, thousands of years, still the principle exists. So you could say, oh, that's archaic. They used to do that, you know, before, you know. But you could cook today and it'll work. That's the thing. It always works. Because the primary is what is pervading everything. So that's the substance of everything. So that's then what we're trying to be able to split here, because we're not doing that. We're sentimentally just leaving it, but intellectually, because by the intellect you can break the attachment of the mind. So we're attached to that. If there's substance, or if there's activity, or if there's existence of something, then that's the important thing. Then I'll connect it to Krishna, rather than no, its actual existence and substance is Krishna. So therefore it's already connected. It's just a matter, do we want to take part as an instrument in that, or do we want to take part in our own mind of not? Because even if we're engaged in what we would call activities that are material, the mechanics that are going on that's being arranged by Krishna's energies is still a worship of Him. You know, that's what Lord Brahma was noticing, realizing when at the Leela with when he stole the cows and calves, is that every living entity is worshiping Krishna. Right? Because they're following, they're seeing the secondary, they're operating the secondary appropriately and getting the results. And so how does that all work? Because it's Krishna, it's His potencies. But they're seeing it in relationship to themselves. But actually, they've just done things connected to Krishna. So the living entity is always engaged in Krishna's service. It's just that it only has the taste of Krishna's service when the living entity has that attitude. So the whole point of Krishna consciousness is to change the consciousness. And so anything that's going to get in the way of our change of consciousness, that has to be adjusted. And anything that's supporting that, then that remains. So this so much emphasis on the secondary forms of preaching and culture and community and temple and management and hierarchy and who gets the money and who's in charge and who gets all the people, all these things, they only have a meaning if they're connected to Krishna. If they're not connected to Krishna, they're not. We can say they are. But the point is they're saying it is, that's their intent, but then when we apply it, we do something else. You know, say this is for Krishna, but when we apply it, our false ego comes in. And then it becomes reduced in its quality of how it's for Krishna. So because it's got that reduction in quality, that's why it won't give the same satisfaction. Right? And so that's where the problems come up. And then we wonder what happened. I did everything perfectly. Yes, mechanically, but devotionally, no. But if you ask what it's for, then it's for Krishna. So that's the point. Anyone who has faith, then it's for Krishna. It's about Krishna. So that's why they're situated on the right path, because it's about Krishna.
Right? Now he can have faith without bhakti. We can have faith without bhakti.
It means it's not very well developed, because bhakti is the natural state of the living entity. See, is that natural friendship that the living entity has, one of the qualities they have, its origin is love for Krishna. So when that quality of friendship is applied to Krishna, it comes out as love. When it's applied to any other living entity, it comes out as friendship. Right? And then in the material world, it comes out as that friendship, compassion, or what do you call it? Where you don't care?
Indifference.
Thank you. That's how it comes out here. In the spiritual world, it's always friendship, and in Krishna, then it's always that prema. Does that make sense? So that's the same quality of the living entity. It's just how it's being applied. So that's what Prabhupada said. It's natural. But we just have to be convinced.
Yes.
You know, that's the thing. We have to be convinced. And so Vedanta Sutra is this getting down to the finest points on where we can deviate.
Yes.
And pointing them out. Right? So that's what's going on. So it's the overlap of that. Krishna means you have the secondary forms that are here, or whatever we see. Krishna is that, what makes it work. So if we're just giving the ordinary thing, then, you know, if I say, okay, sit in the chair, that means that particular manifestation of Krishna's energy in the form of a chair, we're talking about the form of the chair. But if, like, so we say, like the Upanishadic, one should situate oneself in the chair, then we're talking about the chairness of the chair, so we're talking about Krishna.
Yes, yes.
Does that make sense? So that's why the Upanishads always sound funny, you know, that you're, you know, if you are the sage who is within the chair while being in the chair, you know, then attains to, you know, the supreme happiness. All it's doing is pointing out the two things, that whatever you're doing, if you're always seeing the supreme, you'll be situated. That's what it's talking about. That's why it sounds so funny, because it's overlapping the two. He walks, but he does not walk. You know, he's near, but he's very far away. It's always overlapping these. So that's why they come. So the Vedic version is, you can see both at once. Right? And then there's different grades of that. You can see, okay, the chair and the heavenly planet. So the chair and Brahman. What we're trying to actually is the chair and Krishna. Does that make sense? And then there's the people who only see the chair and don't see anything else. And those are the ones we don't really care about. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So when people do care about them, no, but they have such a nice chair. We don't have such good chairs. You know, and so if we want to be accepted in this world and be able to preach and be taken seriously, we have to get better chairs. You can understand, this has nothing to do with anything. It's just you fall into the same illusion that the chair is what's important, rather than it's the chair that's important. You understand? This is where it comes in. It's an overlap of terms. So, because the chair is the common point, then we'll take it. It's devotional because it's about a chair. But it's not. It's about the chair of the chair. Yes.
Old English used to sound like that, no? Is it? Or similar to that?
Old English?
Yes.
I'm not so good. I'm not that well read up on Chaucer, so I can't. You could say? No.
Well,
no Chaucervadis. If we had anyone here from Iceland, they could tell us. Because they still speak. They still speak.
I have another thing. So, if the goal is proper in listening to Krishna, then, so actually the process should be like self-adjusting.
Yes, it should. That's the whole. That's we're being given the tools here how to do that self-adjustment, because self-realization means you have to do it. Krishna's going to make it happen, but you have to have the desire, because to remove all the impurities in the heart, all those things, that Krishna's going to do. We're not going to do it, but we have to desire that it happens. But otherwise, if yes, we want to deal with the chair, but we like the chair. You know, so, you know, the chair is okay, but I like the chair. You know, do I get to keep the chair? You know, like that, you know. Does that make sense? So then that is the, when we talk about karma yoga, jnana yoga, means that the chair is important to us. You know, or the knowledge of the chair is important to us. But the actual chair of the chair, that's, you know, ultimately, yes, that's there, but we're not making the connection between the chair of the chair and the chair. So that, therefore, we're just, you know, arguing over who gets to sit in the chair.
You know. Duality.
Yes, the duality. Because there isn't any. There's non-dual. But this non-dual is the personal non-dual. That's why you see in the beginning, we're so strong on that might means. Means in the Bhagavad Gita and those first, you know, so many cantos of Bhagavatam, it's just down on the impersonal. Anytime it's one, it's, you know, we are in the mud line. But as we get up to the transcendental position, then you see the oneness is what's being brought out. Because it's all seen as Krishna. Everything reminds you of Krishna. Everything is an impetus to do devotional service. So he as a person is different from what's here. It's his energies that are non-different. But that means his energies are his energies to be engaged in his service. So because the difference, then you think of the person who is the source of this. You know what I'm saying? So we're talking about who's the chair of the chair, but that means Krishna. But we're just talking about the principle of how he's the chair of the chair. But the problem is, it's the chair. So now they're asking, so here the word chair has been used, so does this mean a chair, or does this mean Brahman? So we say it means a chair because that's how everybody uses it.
Yes.
That's the philosophy here, because if it's that, now their philosophies will work, that the Jiva is supreme or Pradhan supreme or Shiva supreme and not the Lord. Because they talk about Brahman, but they actually can't understand Brahman because they don't accept Brahman's energies.
Can we say that the difference between us and, for example, other sampradayas is the prayojana, and between us and six other schools is the hermeneutics?
No, you'd use hermeneutics on all of them because how they'll interpret the words.
Vaishnava sampradayas, they interpret them differently?
Basically, they'll be the same, but they may not have as deep a meaning.
Because here, Sutrakara, he argues the meanings of the words. He's not argues, he tries to establish.
Right.
Usually we don't do this with the four sampradayas.
Oh, okay, yes.
So you're saying with the six
bogus schools, then it's hermeneutics. Yeah, because that's Mimamsa. But you're saying within Vedanta, then we don't have that.
Yeah.
Except for Shankara.
Yes.
Shankara we do. Because actually that's Buddhism.
Yeah. So can we say that? It's like this.
So you're saying that the six schools that would be hermeneutics and the Vaishnava schools that would be?
The difference in prayojana, some want to go to
Vaikuntha. Okay, yes. Yeah, you could say that. Because it's all about Krishna and the spiritual world, but it's just whether liberation is included or not, whether there's, sweetness, majesty, or a mix. Yes, it would be like that. It'd be differences, basically, you could say. Yeah. They're fine. They're within what's bona fide, that's just there. And the others, the forms that they're using generally are bona fide. How they're using them, why they're using them, that may not be bona fide. Like that. You had something.
I was just going to say that Prabhupada used that, those things to promote Krishna consciousness. Like when he spoke to reporters or something, he'd say, look, these boys and girls, they're not doing these criminal activities or drugs or whatever they're doing. And he'd say, like, chant and be happy. He didn't say, like, chant and be happy or sad or whatever, but remember Krishna. He said, chant and be happy. So he's promoting Krishna consciousness in this way. So, of course, it would attract people that are interested in that.
I'm not sure I get the connection.
I'm talking about you saying that people, devotees, are attracted to the mundane, secondary, moral and aspects.
I'm saying they can be. I'm not saying they are, but I'm just saying if that comes up, then that can be a problem.
Yeah. But I'm saying that Prabhupada promoted in that way, so no wonder that those people will be attracted. If they say, oh,
no, but then the fault goes on Prabhupada, not on the individuals that are making the mistake.
I'm just trying to understand why Prabhupada...
No, but then approach it from that. That's the way to approach it. Mm-hmm. As Prabhupada has said like this, and therefore it appears that the secondary, and these devotees of that, would they not be following Prabhupada said here? So then what's their fault?
Mm. Yeah.
Like that. So you're trying to understand the process that's there rather than... You said this, but this is happening, and so, what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's a slightly different approach. Because one is then how to use it, one's just finding a difference, and that's all just, it's not a matter of, well, what are you going to do with that correction of this?
Always asking that.
Yes, but you have to ask it in the right way, because the point is the secondary is used as the medium. So then, depending upon what secondary form you use, then it'll be generally thought of which quality you're using in that. You know what I'm saying? So if you only are finding where a fault is, then that element, the quality of criticism and those kind of things will be the quality that's attributed to that approach. Well, if you're taking it through that, okay, this is there, this is different, because Arjuna is doing that all the time. All the questions come up are doing that.
Mm-hmm.
That that it appears that Prabhupada's using this, but at the same time, as we know, it's all about Krishna. So then, how is that mistake made, or how to avoid that, or that kind of a thing?
Mm-hmm.
Then it takes on a different aspect of inquiry.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So, point is, everything's expressed through the secondary, but you have to be able to see what is the primary. Because if we're saying, using, let's say, some modern thing of, let's say, management or economics or parenting or education and all that that the karmis are using, and we're saying that this is good because of the good qualities that are involved there, it hasn't gotten to Krishna. It's only the subtle form of the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're talking about, is that it's not connected to the primary. And so we're so used to using the secondary from our conditioning that, as it being the main thing, that these secondary aspects that we use, as far as we can see up, is that the subtle qualities that for us would bring about a better material environment. Like that. Everybody's nice. So therefore, what's the secondary form of being nice? So then one group will say, nice is this. Nice is, paying for the guy's beer. And someone else, nice is helping the old lady across the street, or nice is, being pleasant and smiling at everybody, or, what I'm saying? But depending on where you are, these secondary don't match. I remember once Atma Tattva was in the airport once, and he was sitting there, waiting for something, and some lady was there, sitting on the other side, and, as looking around, they made eye contact, so he smiled. And she just kind of looked away, and then he didn't, no. So then again, she looked again and they smiled more, maybe thought what they didn't know was a smile. Maybe they smiled bigger in America or something. I don't know, like that. So he did a couple of times, I think about three times. Then she got up and left and went over to the counter and then came back and sat down. Then the lady from the counter, she came over and pulled him aside and says, hey, you're in America. You don't smile at people. So that's not considered being nice. That's freaky. Why are you nice? What do you want? So therefore, it's exploitive. But in basically all the countries of the world except the Anglo-Saxon countries, smiling is considered a nice thing. You're a nice guy. You smiled, like that. You were happy. You shared it. But in America, why are you sharing? What's your motive? What do you want from me? Yeah, that's the whole thing. So that's what I'm saying, is that there's a quality they want, but the point is the forms they'll use will be different. And then the idea is that if everybody does this, that'll work for the whole world. But the fun part is most of the world, 6 billion out of 7 billion people, then they're quite fine with the Vedic version, the way it goes culturally. They may, details of that, but the basic personal kind of interaction, that's more important. And that 1 billion, then they're the ones that know that the way we run the secondary, how we apply the qualities, this is the universal for everyone. So it's a problem. So that's why we use the forms, because that's how interaction goes, is from using the forms. But it's the primary aspect of mood which is which makes the difference between what level of consciousness it's at. Right? Because the secondary forms are used by all five levels. It's just whether it is the consciousness of sense gratification, extended sense gratification, theistic morality, understanding the nature of the soul, or devotion to the Lord. But the activity doesn't change for any of them, in principle. You may see, once you get below Dharma, then you'll see a change in the activities they do, what they would call nice or not nice. But generally from Manamoya up, the forms will be the same, because it's all based on scripture. Does that make sense? So the secondary is what you have to discuss. But the point is that how you're using that secondary for Krishna, that makes the difference. Whether it's for Krishna, or whether it's mixed, or whether it's not. Understand? Yeah. So this is trying to point out what you're looking at here. Yes.
Maharaj, yesterday we spoke a lot about Vanaprastha.
Yes.
And that's when apparently the shift happens between, you know, concentrating on the secondary and then going into the primary.
Yes.
But the anxiety in that position, going into primary, we lose a lot of relations, those that built on the secondary and with the devotees. Because then we don't have an interest, they don't have an interest.
And but isn't that good?
It's great.
I don't even know.
No, because the point is if it's simply on the secondary and that's all you can do is sit around and talk about, you know, the titanium carburetor or something like that, is that really an important relation in your life?
No, but we cultivated that relationship for like 20, 25 years and we're still attached emotionally. We understand from the intellect that it's not important. But then.
But that's why Vanaprastha also is for 25 years. Because then you can practice being a Vanaprastha. Yeah, so that's the idea. So you have 25 years for each ashram, so then you can become good at it.
If you die in the middle.
Hmm?
If you die in the middle.
It depends. If you die as a Vanaprastha, that's considered cool. Less cool. You know, you know, then you'll be born in a family who owns a, you know, an auto parts shop or something.
Ford company.
Huh?
Ford company.
Yeah. Like that. Depends on whether you're in it for the money or for the entity. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Yes, then you're here. Then you have to practice again. So that's what sadhana means, is you practice.
There is one thing that actually is very rare, that somebody has pure motive to please Krishna.
Oh, pure motive to please Krishna. I was going to say pure motive. Plenty of you have pure motive. It's about me. How pure can you get?
But very often it's...
But that's why it's so special, the pure devotees. They're so special. That's why they're glorified. That's why they're so unique, and that offending them is doesn't work very well. You know, you offend the regular old guy, you know, it's like, you know, how you say, you come with your double barrel shotgun and blow away Scarface. I don't think that anybody's going to get upset, right? You know what I'm saying? That's the whole point, is that it's not good, but then it's just seen on a just level. Because the guy's a rat bag and, you know, you dealt with him. It may not be nice, but whatever it is, your reaction is only for, you know, what difficulty you gave to a rat bag, right? So now the problem is when you're dealing with a pure devotee, now how many of them like that are in the universe, right? Even if there's, you know, millions, that still there's unlimited living entities. So it's quite significant. And so the value of them is more, right? Because you also have to see, is that as, what do you call it? What's the thing? How you gauge price?
Supply and demand?
Yes, supply and demand. You know, so it's availability. You know, so therefore the demand is for pure devotional service, and there's very few of them, so therefore they're really valuable. Does that make sense? So then that means is that offending a pure devotee, that's not one-to-one as it is in the material world. You know, on the material platform. That's, you know, 1 to 10,000, 1 to 100,000, 1 to a million, 1 to, you know, you can't put numbers to it. Like that. You know what I'm saying? You know, you're still getting, you know, from offending someone 2,000 years ago, people today still get trouble for that. You know, and that's their, you know, go back, you know, how many generations back to there. He made the point, what did I do? You know, it's like, but they're still getting a reaction. So it's just, you don't mess with the pure devotees. Does that make sense? So there's a difference. So that's why then the whole scene is that's why it's pointed out so much about not offending the devotees, being careful. Because even someone just has Shraddha, how many people have Shraddha? Even they're the newest neophyte, you know, they just gained Shraddha, you know, in the last, you know, few minutes, but still, that is so rare. And then of those who come to the platform of pure devotion, that's even more rare. And those who come to the platform of prema is even more rare. Over here in the spiritual world, there's, you know, there's 10 times the amount here. So, but it's the value. It's value. That's why you can be there. Because if you get into volume and you lose your value, then you can't be there. Right? In other words, if, let's say, you're moving with very, VIPs or something, and you can be in that and maintain the proper attitude at all times, then you can be there. But if by being there now you think you're special and all that and start to, you know, like elbow, you know, hey, Prez, what's happening? You know, stuff like this, then the guys in the black suits kind of take you off to the side. You understand? It just, you can't be there. So that's why you can't, those who become proud, those who become, take it for granted in that, then they can't be so close. You know, and then if you'll take advantage of it, then you can be there. And so the point is whether there's pride or not, because that's the whole thing. The gopis were the most qualified and fortunate individuals within the cosmos, not even just in the universe, the cosmos. But they were proud of it, so Krishna's not interested. Right? It means that won't attract them. It means that is all, so much is there, that's just a small fault, so therefore he'll work in a way to remove that fault. He doesn't reject them. He's like that, but he just works in such a way. Because he's God, and he's not proud of it. Because right? Otherwise, if he had to always prove he was God, then why is Ugrasena the king, not him? You know, why is Balaram the older brother? Why is Advaitacharya, you know, both of their teachers? You know, so like that's the whole thing. Because he's not proud. He's God. That's just who he is, and he's not proud of it. So therefore, the devotees have to be who they are and not be proud. So to be able to distinguish this, you have to, what are we proud of? The secondary forms. So we have to be able to understand the secondary, you know, the nature of it. So being able to distinguish this, that's why this fine point is made. And you can see you can apply this into many, many aspects. All the points that, all the philosophy is in the Vedanta Sutra. Right? And so these essential points are there. So there's 555 sutras. And we see some of them are one sutra is one adhikarana. But for many of them, there's 2, 3 or, you know, more. So I'm not sure how many there are total adhikaranas, but out of that 500, there'll be less than that. You know? So somewhere like 200-300 adhikaranas. So those would be the essential points of all the philosophy. Right? And so everything, the Gita, Bhagavatam, everything, they're just expanding on that. Giving, the Purana gives example of that, shows devotees applying it and non-devotees and how it works. And then the Sandarbhas will be giving finer points of that, because you see the Anuchetas, you know, just in one, we get one quote in just one Sandarbha, and we're already quoting, you know, from 341st Anucheta. You know, it's probably as many or more than what's already in the Vedanta Sutra. So we can see is that Jiva Goswami is taking these points and breaking them down. Like that. So
actually the safe side is to have the same mood as those pure devotees.
That's exactly what we're trying to do, is the mood. Because this is what we're analyzing here, is because it's not what you're doing, it's the attitude in which you do it. Right? And so those who understand pure devotional service, they'll focus on the attitude, and then they'll perform the activities that are recommended. Because right? If it's about pleasing Krishna, then that means all these secondary forms have some way in which they are pleasing to Krishna. Right? And so then you have to match those that please Krishna in this situation of devotion would require this particular emotional quality. And then that would have this natural form. Right? So, does that make sense? And so all those different things go together. So the time, place, and circumstance are there. They come from originally from bhakti. That's the fun part, is you're talking bhakti and then send the audio. But, you know, time, place, and circumstance. It's like, you know, it's like, you know, if Ambarish was giving a discussion on, you know, Ford Company, and someone said, you know, but, in here is we have to consider cars, you know? I mean, that's the real topic here, you know? It's kind of like, yeah, hello. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is that we're not catching that all these things are bhakti. And so then we say it's not about what you're doing, it's the attitude. And then it's, oh, so then I can do whatever I want. So we immediately make it about the secondary and then argue over the secondary. No, but it's not the same. It's the bhakti. But they're using it opposite. They're saying, when you say, this is wrong. No, but it's not about this, it's the bhakti. So then if this is, why did you choose this? Because the bhakti, if it was about Krishna, pleasing Krishna in a particular attitude that's natural for the situation, why would you use this? You know what I'm saying?
So, there is other side of that, then there's like cheap talk.
Yeah, there's cheap talk.
I try to please Krishna.
But that's why, you see, but at least they're talking about Krishna. You know, so the cheap talk has been connected to Krishna, so that's good.
Well, that part is connected.
Yeah, that part's connected. But now their application is not, so that's why it's called cheap talk, because it's not, how you say, putting your money where your mouth is. Right? So the aspect is you're trying to get through all that, and all that will happen by being purified by the process of devotional service, by the process of association. So that's why association is there. We're associating with the acharyas here, Vyasadeva and the acharyas, to understand the fine points of devotional service so that we don't make any mistakes. We can see what's connected to Krishna and what's not, and be able to see it in the proper light. So,
when Krishna makes the argument that when someone who is being honored, dishonor is worse than death, is he appealing to this moralistic sentiment?
Yeah, you could say. Because we see for Haridas Thakur, does it matter? You know, or these others, doesn't matter. But here, what he's talking about, it matters. The family and his doing the right thing, you know, what is it, better they kill me, you know,
unarmed,
and they're all aggressive and all that, and then for me to, you know, disturb the elders, because it's all his identity. I can't do that. How can I do that? But the whole point is ultimately it's got to be about Krishna. That's why there was that pastime of asking Yudhishthira to say Ashwatthama was dead. You know, so because he said, then his chariot touched the ground. So some will say that he said, and that's why it touched the ground. See, he was all his life, didn't tell a lie in this one lie, and now you see, then it touched the ground. Other authorities say it's because he wouldn't tell the lie for Krishna's satisfaction. That's why it touched the ground. So he was always using his truthfulness in Krishna's service, but then you identify with that truthfulness, so therefore there are times when Krishna tests him. Yeah.
Maharaj?
Yes.
You speak of these words such as Pradhan, Hara, and Jiva, and all these things. So then, basically, we have two things, the primary meaning and the secondary meaning.
Yes.
But when the six schools of philosophies, when they say about.
When which philosophy?
The six schools,
the six darshans.
Yeah. So the thing is that because the basic premise is missing, that means they don't accept Brahman. So then, obviously, it is necessary.
Although they may accept Brahman, these six schools may accept, but they're accepting that it has nothing to do with the material energy. Pradhan is what's producing this. So Brahman may be a beyond, but everything we see here is just produced by Pradhan. And there's some connection with the Jiva and Pradhan. So only Vaishnavas believe that the soul comes from God. All other philosophies, the soul comes from the material energy.
Yeah. So they'll always stick to the secondary meaning only. They will never come to the primary.
They don't want to come to the primary. Because the point is their philosophy is supported by the secondary meaning. It means they're applying their concept of primary. But it's incomplete. So how much they apply that's correct according to Shastra, then that's a value. But the point is ultimately they never get to applying it properly.
Mm. So what is the whole point in proving this, you know? If they don't understand, they even intellectuals don't understand. Then what to speak to the ordinary people?
Okay. Have we ever seen situations where someone's asked a question in the class? I answer the question. the person who asked the question absolutely does not understand what I'm talking about. Everybody else in the room does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's why Vyasadeva is answering this.
Okay.
Yeah. Because we're not expecting the Shankyites to understand this. You know, if they did, then they'd take up devotional service. So those who are actually looking for truth, and they just happen to be in Shankya philosophy, then when they understand it, they'll take up devotional service. But otherwise, it keeps the, you know, so it's just like, why are locks on doors? Do locks keep out thieves?
No,
they keep honest people honest. Thieves, they're going to get into your house whether you put a lock or not. Right? Does that make sense? You know, they have their methods. Yeah? Yes.
On the topic of being proud of some achievements,
right.
Can the soul take credit for the choices that it makes?
The soul has taken choices, but how? Now we could only be generally proud, meaning that it would be considered the choice we took was good.
Mm, like being a devotee.
Yes, but where did we get the idea that good is coming from? Did we just one day while we were, sitting there? Yes. So from the devotees and from scripture, from Krishna. So therefore, we're following them. So it's our fortune that they gave us that and that we are able to follow. So in that way, we avoid pride.
So in that same way, can we say that we fell down or we made some bad choices because of bad association? So it's, we can't be responsible for that because we...
No, because it's your choice what you do with what you see. Each soul has that individuality to choose. Just like you chose that, you also chose the other. Right? You chose, that makes you fortunate. You made the wrong choice, that makes you unfortunate. See, just because you chose it doesn't mean you can be proud of it. You know. But at the same time, is on that point of how we got here was because of our bad choices. Now that we are here or have been here or have done so much in the material world, that's not taken very seriously either, because that is just the material, involvement. What, that's not connected with the soul. It's just a matter of which way you're going to use that. If we're using it, it's not my fault, it's someone else's fault, then we wouldn't use it that way, because we won't get out of the material world, because it's about justice and material justice, not even spiritual. So then that will keep us here. If we're looking at it, but if we're saying, oh, I've done so much wrong, I'm so useless, I can't be involved in devotional service, that will keep us here also. So it's like, I've made an illusion, I made the mistake, but what's been done is also illusion, so therefore giving up that attachment to that illusion, I move on, because it's just illusion. So there's nothing to, technically, of what's been done to lament about. What's to lament about is that we left Krishna's, that situation to serve Krishna and came here.
Mm.
That's lamentable.
Yeah.
But whatever's been done here, it's like all in a dream. Yeah. It doesn't matter. But you have to know which way to use this.
Yeah. No, I'm just thinking of sometimes you say something like, if somebody does something, disturbs someone in some way, you say, oh, well, they didn't do it to you because that's just the motives of nature making them do it, so they didn't actually do anything to you.
Yeah.
And in a way, that's your karma for that to happen, but in a way, they made the choice to participate in that.
Yes, but that they made the choice to participate.
Mm-hmm.
That's where their fault is. That you got that reaction has nothing to do with them. They just happened to agree to take part.
Yeah. So they're not responsible for it.
They're responsible for them being involved, but what happened to you, they're not responsible for.
Yeah.
Like that. So you have to be able to divide all these things. Okay. That's it.
Well, it's one apparent discrepancy that might come up with the person looking for justice is if we don't get credit for good that we do, but we do get credit for bad that we do.
Yeah.
That was true. Underlying Mataji's concern.
But I mean, but the point is the bad that we do is material, so it's material and the credit we get for it's material. So we do something good and it's material and we want credit for the good material?
Yes.
but it keeps you here. That's why it says in Gita that Krishna doesn't. Yeah, but then there's the next one. And the next one. And the next one. Is that. Oh. The. What do you call it? Krishna doesn't accept the good or bad reactions from us. So that means the good also aren't of important, you know? They aren't of value. And it said that the gopis, that couldn't go to the rasa dance, when they became absorbed in Krishna, came to that point of samadhi, it burned up the reactions to both their good and bad activities. So that's the whole point, is that we don't want to get involved in either. We just do our duties. That's the point. As we do our duties, it works out nicely, great, because it's for Krishna. If it doesn't, we keep doing it till it does. Because it's just if you're working on the eternal platform, let's say you have a year to accomplish something. And, you know, the first few times you do it over the first some weeks, then you're not getting quite the results you wanted. But you're not too frustrated because you have a year to get it done. Right? But now if you only had one day to get it done and these same obstacles came up, then you'd be very frustrated. Right? So when you're working on eternal time, what's to get frustrated about? So the point is if Krishna can't, you know, how you say, steal the butter today, he will tomorrow. If not, you know, in eternity, at some point he's going to steal that butter. Right? So the point is that he... All these are just to enhance the rasa. That's all. But because we're thinking it's not about rasa, it's about the thing itself. The happiness comes from the thing. Therefore, the obstacle is coming to get the thing. That's what we consider as the problem, rather than the obstacles to relationship.
Yes.
You know. So it's different.
Because I've heard also some doubts, like, for example, we see in the Shastra, in previous ages, when you see how devotees live, they had a very peaceful, nice life, and at the end they went back to God.
Yeah.
So, but Kali Yuga and...
But are we willing to live that life?
Which one?
The one in Shastra that those guys had. Yeah, that's the point, is that you get what you want. So the thing is we'll live a disturbed life and at the end of life go back to Godhead. So the point is what does it matter if this is nice or not? Because it's material. Because they were following all the things, but they weren't doing it for the nice life. That's the difference. So if we do it for the nice life, that nice life will give us trouble. If we're not doing it for the nice life will be there, and we won't have trouble, because it's not about the nice life.
Sometimes we want to fool Krishna's thinking, we're doing it for you, but it would be nice to have a nice life.
Yeah, that's there. And so then you may get that. But then the problem is then Krishna steps. Because the point is, as you focus on the secondary, you're not on the primary. If you're on the primary, the secondary comes along automatically. That's the thing. Is that...
Maharaj, can you say that karma is an example of infinite regression?
Karma is infinite regression. It can go on infinitely, but then bhakti is the end of that infinite regression.
The doubt
was on number four. Follows Siddhanta follows in the next sutra, and we've been discussing that for the last half hour. No, it was the Purva Paksha. Okay, so Sutra 1428. Etena sarve Vyakyata, vyakyataha. Oh, I remember this. Okay, etena, in this way, sarve, all. Vyakyata, explained. Vyakyata, explained. So the explanation of the explanation. All words in the scriptures should be interpreted to agree with the explanation that the Supreme Brahman is the original cause. Right? So everything has to be seen in that light. Then, if the concept that it's discussing is just an ordinary conception, and it doesn't go against that situation being created by Brahman, then you're talking about the ordinary situation. Right? Because then it matches. But if you're talking about qualities of Brahman in an ordinary situation, you're talking about Brahman. In other words, Brahman always is the connection. So in devotional service, Krishna is always the connection. So in the same way, all words in the scripture should be interpreted to agree with the explanation that Krishna is the original cause. So Krishna is the focus or goal of everything. You understand? So it's the same point that's being made. It's just the exact technical point. That's Vedanta Sutra. Right? And then Bhagavatam then fills it out into the context of devotional service. But you can see this is the philosophical point, establishing that everything you see should be connected to Krishna. So then you can see that the highest manifestation of this sutra is the gopis. They see everything connected to Krishna, absolutely everything. Sutra Prakashika. Since the Lord is the cause of all causes, He is also the source of all names in the world. Because He's the cause of what's there, so what's there, the effect, or the ingredients, that's also Him. So the name that goes with it is also Him. Right? So, it's just, Sri Govindabhasya, Siddhanta. In this sutra, the word etena means according to the explanations already given. Sarve means hara and the other names. And Vyakyata means should be understood to be the names of the Supreme Brahman, because all names are originally names of the Supreme Brahman. Right? So that would be, you could say, is the Bhagavatam translation of the sutra. The Balaveya Shruti says, Namani Vishvani Na Shanti Loke Yad Avirasit Purushasya Sarvam. Namani Sarvani Yam Avishanti Tarn Vai Vishnur Param Udaharanti. The names of this world are not different from Him. All names in this world are names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All names refer to Him, Lord Vishnu, whom the wise declare is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Names are we talking about?
Any name.
It's like
pot.
Oh, so it's like a definition. It's coming from Him.
Yeah, because pot. What is the pot? What is the potness of the pot? Is Krishna.
Okay, so we aim at the primary creation where Krishna gave the blueprint of.
No, we're aiming at the person who gave the primary creation. So in other words, that's the analytical, as we take it from secondary to primary to Krishna.
So we go reverse.
Yeah. Like that. That's Shankhya. That's analysis. Because we're going to end in devotion. Devotion means you start with Krishna, and then, doing service, then I can use this.
That's why we send that our knowledge is descending process?
Yes.
And Shankhya, they are ascending process, kind of?
In if you're using it in that way, it's ascending. But if you're connecting it to Krishna, then it's not. We wouldn't call it ascending. But we may be using that kind of element in that we're seeing our conditioning. And then what our conditioning would do in this situation, and then seeing that should be done for Krishna. Rather than we want to serve Krishna in this situation, this could be done for Krishna as recommended by Shastra. And my conditioning, it's within the context of the duties that I could be performing in this conditioning, so therefore I'll apply it.
And then what would be the difference between Shankhya and Dhyana yoga? Just a part of
that you're using Shankhya, it means that intellectual aspect of analysis, that's Jnana Yoga. So that's what you use. That's why it mentions there's Shankhya and there's Bhakti.
Okay.
Because the analysis is what you're going to use. It's just how they use the analysis. Right? So analysis is a tool. That's why we have it. The third canto then is about how that shankhya is used in devotional service. You know, how it is devotional service. Because Krishna says in the Gita that they're not two different things. They're one thing. It's just one is you're looking at the devotional side, engaging the knowledge. The other is you're looking at the knowledge being engaged in Krishna's service. That makes the difference.
Yes.
Right. Also, Maharaj, when it mentions all names of the world, so in Adhikaran Prakashika, we saw that the names can mean demigods, men, animals, everything. Right?
Yes, everything. Anything. Yes, yes. Vaishampayana Muni explains that all these names are names of Lord Krishna. Sri Narayan Nadini Namani Vinanyani Rudradibhyo Harir Dattavan. Except for Narayana and some other names, Lord Hari gave away his names to Lord Shiva and the other demigods, Skanda Purana. So they're all his names. And so some names are reserved just for him. But other names that he's given away to these demigods and then all the things that the demigods are in control of. So here you only need to mention the demigods because the demigods are in control of everything, so that includes everything else. You know? Does that make sense? You know, when you say the office of the prime minister, that includes all his pens and, you know, stuff like that, the rug and, you know, stuff like that, the light switch. You know, it's all engaged. Right? So that's why we don't have to give the example of the pot.
And when we say Narayan, so then they refer to Narayan as what then?
Who's they?
They means the Purupakshis.
Means the all here. That means Narayana, that we have to say. We'd have to see. What's their concept of Narayan?
What's the question?
The question is, what do those who are the Shankya philosophy, as they're here, how do they define Narayan? That means they only understand that Brahman is maybe the supreme aspect. So how they see Narayan, I'm not sure.
Maybe Saguna Brahman, something like that?
That you'd have to see. Why speculate? We'd have to look. But the point is it won't be a complete understanding, whatever it is. Because if it was understanding from the Bhagavan point of view, then that wouldn't come up. Okay. This is the rule that should be followed. When the ordinary sense of these names does not contradict the essential teaching of the Vedas, the ordinary meaning should be accepted. When the ordinary sense of these names does contradict the meaning of the Vedas, these names should be understood to be the names of Lord Vishnu, because they're all his names originally. And then he gives them to them for use. So if it's talking about the position they're applying it in, then it's talking about the ordinary. But when it's talking about him, who's the potency behind whatever they're doing, right, the authority behind, then they're talking about him, because they're originally his names anyway. The last word, vyakyata, is repeated to indicate the end of the chapter. Right, so it's, you know, just to make the point clear.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Bhagavatam verse reference, 6:4:28. May that super soul be pleased with me. The super soul is realized when one is eager for liberation from the unlimited varieties of material life. One actually attains such liberation when he engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord and realizes the Lord because of his attitude of service. The Lord may be addressed by various spiritual names, which are inconceivable to the material senses. When will that Supreme Personality Godhead be pleased with me? 6:4:30. The Supreme Brahman, Krishna, is the ultimate resting place and source of everything. Everything is done by him. Everything belongs to him. And everything is offered to him. He is the ultimate objective, and whether acting or causing others to act, he is the ultimate doer. There are many causes, high and low, but since he is the cause of all causes, he is well known as the Supreme Brahman, who existed before all activities. He is one without a second and has no other cause. I therefore offer my respects unto him. And just pointing out how everything is connected to him. And then 33 to 34. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is inconceivably opulent, who is devoid of all material names, forms, and pastimes, and who is all-pervading, is especially merciful to the devotees who worship his lotus feet. Thus he exhibits transcendental forms and names with his different pastimes. May that Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose form is eternal and full of knowledge and bliss, be merciful to me, as the air carries various characteristics of these physical elements, like the aroma of a flower or colors resulting from a mixture of dust in the air. The Lord appears through lower systems of worship according to one's desires, although he appears as the demigods and not in his original form. What is the use of these other forms? May the original Supreme Personality of Godhead please fulfill my desires. Right, so then you get this aspect where Krishna being everything, he is there in everything, and so then he may carry all these other aspects. So you say it's the air, you know, you have the fragrance, but the point is that the fragrance is you're smelling it in the air. So it's the Supreme Lord who is everything, and then within that there'll be manifestations of all these other aspects, the demigods and all these aspects. So, but when even though the demigod technically is him, in that potency is him, but that form is not the important aspect, because it's coming from the Supreme Lord. So therefore, it's only seen in the context as the demigod. Right? Or you see it that the potency they have as the Supreme Lord, and then go back to the Supreme Lord. So only then in the Vishnu Tattva, or the avatars of the Lord, then those ones that are taken as the Lord himself. But in that aspect, that particular aspect of Swamsa, then it's a partial. That's why then Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that he's not a Swamsa, he's the complete form. Right?
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shri Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.